Once again, personal joke from yesterday. Personal joke from yesterday? Personal joke from yesterday. There you go. Private joke, sir. Private joke. It's expected of me to say something this morning, but truth be told, I'd rather just keep quiet and listen to the rain. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm done preaching. I'm going to do my best to get the voice carried over the rain this morning. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Turn to three people to your left, to your right, in front of you, behind you. Just three, greet three people this morning. We've been busy with an interesting and a very challenging theme called Life is More Than Milkshake. I didn't get to see, are there any first-time visitors here this morning? First-time, raise your hands, guys. Welcome. Boss Mike, Flace, lady at the back, bless you guys. Great to have you. What's this More Than Milkshake stuff? You know that milkshake represents fun times and good times and you just want to chillax and enjoy. But the reality of it is that life, especially now, is not just milkshake. And our theme scripture has been from Hebrews chapter 12, which speaks about a shaking that God is going to do in the world. We looked at ways in which the devil shakes us. We looked at ways in which God shakes us. And last week, we touched on a very radical, radical piece of scripture. When Jesus, from Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 to 39, he challenges us and he says how he's going to bring a sword and turn people against each other for various reasons. And if you want to be brought up to speed with what's that about, just encourage you to go online and listen to the message again. But we left off last week by challenging ourselves with this question, and we're just going to recap before we slide into what we've got planned for this morning. And the question we needed to ask ourselves was, are we willing to be shaken as we war against worldliness with a piece of Christ in our hearts, letting His Word change us while people oppose us, loving Jesus more than anyone or anything, and taking up our cross as we lay down our lives to live in His abundant life? It's quite a mouthful, but it's a very, very challenging question. And this week we're going to discuss what can we do to help us accept, not necessarily understand, but what can we do to help us accept the shaking, the shaping, and the molding that God allows in our lives, even though we don't fully understand it. After all, what is God's purpose for our life? If life is more than milkshake, why does God allow us to be shaken and to be shaped and to be molded if it leaves us wondering, Yerema, hukom? Why is this happening to me? And Jesus explains it. Well, the Bible explains it in this single verse that we're going to read this morning. So without further ado, I want to pray again and just trust God this morning that He changes our hearts and our lives and that we listen to what the Spirit of God has to say. Because me as Mozzie, I've got nothing to say. Nothing that can make an impact or a lasting difference in your life. But one word from God can change your hearts forever. So, Father, thank You that we can get together as sons and daughters of the living God this morning. Thank You that we can make the time to listen to what You have to say. Above the busyness and the noise of the beautiful rain on the roof, which we're grateful for, thank You that we have a roof. And thank You that we've got rain. We ask that You speak into our hearts, that we listen and hear to what the Spirit of God has to say to us. And Holy Spirit, that when we leave this place this morning, we go out and we live it, we do it, we walk it, that we apply it to our lives so that it brings glory and honor to Your name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen means we agree, we're in agreement. So why does God allow shaking and shaping and molding in our lives that leaves us wondering, but Lord, why? How many times have You wondered, you've asked yourself, and maybe you've discussed it with people, why does bad things happen to good people? How many of you asked yourself that question? How many of you have asked God, Lord, why has this happened to me? I do X, Y, Z. I do A, B, C. I believe you and trust you for this, this, this. And still, this happens to me. Why, Lord? I had this discussion with Madeleine in the week. There's no theologian, Bible scholar, student, preacher, dominie, reverend, whatever, that can give you an answer for those things. Sometimes some of the things that happens in our lives falls under Deuteronomy 29:29, which says, the secret things belong to the Lord. That which has been revealed to us is for us and our children and generations. But the secret things belong to the Lord. Mense, vele male, is daar goed wat met ons gebeur, waar skriftelik gewys, we cannot give you an answer. We just have to trust. You see, when God cannot be understood, He can always, always be trusted. And that's God's encouragement to us this morning. If we come and try and give you an answer, if you seek for an answer, that's why God in the Bible, in the beginning in the garden, said to Adam and Eve, guys, just stay away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eat of the tree of life as much as you want to your heart's content, till you are full. But when you seek to understand without first seeking life, jy gaan altyd 'n gly vang. It's going to trip you up and it's going to trap you up. And the devil will mislead you to a place where you begin to question God instead of trusting God. Do you see the picture, ladies and gentlemen? That's why he said to them, stay away from that tree. Come to the tree of life. You can have of that as much as you want to. Because there, when you have life, as I give you life, when you can be trusted, I'll give you a little bit more understanding. And as you believe, you'll get more understanding. And so it goes on. So there's a scripture that explains this to us. If you're wondering why you've been shaken, why you've been shaped, why you've been molded, why things are happening to you that you don't understand, I've got encouraging news for you this morning. Is that okay, church? Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, it says, for God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son. So the Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That's it. If you stop just at that verse, God chose you to become like Jesus. It will help you understand. This thing that you're going through that you don't understand, God's, if you've allowed Him, is busy molding you, shaping you, and sometimes, if necessary, shaking you and letting your world be shaken so that you can become like Jesus. You see, folks, when you, I trust that most of you here, folks listening or watching, if you've gotten to a place in your life where you said, yes, Lord, I'll follow you, you gave God permission to change and mold your heart to become like Jesus. It's not just to make sure that you don't go to hell one day. It's that while you're experiencing hell here on earth, you can become like Jesus. Are we okay with that, church? Right. So I want to do a demonstration this morning and show you something that is rather profound. There's a passage in the Bible which we're going to look at this morning. It's going to show you the following. And I lost. It's a lack of being able to throw things. Okay, my wife told me, I think I'm going to be okay, buddy. So, here is you. I would say, yes, nogal oulik, hoor. That's you. And if you've gotten to the point in your life where you've placed your life in its entirety in God's hands, body, soul, and spirit. Sometimes all we know and understand is our little world here. God's got us in His hands, and stuff starts to happen. And in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 to 11, The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter's shop and I will speak to you there. And so I did as he told me. I know what I would have done. I would have like tuned God. You want me to do what? Like seriously? I've lost nothing there. What? God, you just go. Just go to the potter's house. Go to his shop and I will speak to you there. And so I did as he told me. And I found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Ja, daar kom al die nonsens uit. Terwyl jy so gedruk word. Dit was die ekkie ek beloof. He started over again. Verse 5, then the Lord gave me this message, O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to this clay? As the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands. If I announce that a certain nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, but then that nation renounces its evil ways, I will not destroy it as I planned. And if I announce that I will plant and build up a certain nation or kingdom, but then that nation turns to evil and refuses to obey me, I will not bless it as I said I would. Therefore, Jeremiah, go and warn all Judah and Jerusalem and say to them, this is what the Lord says. I am planning disaster for you instead of good. So turn from your evil ways, each of you, and do what is right. My brother, my sister, the question this morning is, are you allowing God to work with you as the potter works with the clay? So here's you again with your big smiley face, trying to make this as appealing as possible. Now this guy's smiling like a shit. Are you willing to take the time when you don't understand what God is doing? Instead of seeking an answer, just seek Him. Just seek Him. Lord, I don't understand why. I don't have the answers. But this much I know. My life, with all of these issues, with all of these challenges, with all of these difficulties, it's still in the hands of the Master Potter. That will help us accept, not necessarily understand, it will help us accept the shaking, the shaping, the molding, the pain, the suffering, the breaking, the taking away, the adding to. I think it was Michelangelo. They asked him, one of the great sculptors, they asked him, how do you create these beautiful sculptures out of rock and granite or whatever? He said, it's simple. I just chip away and take away everything that does not look like the horse or the person or the whatever. And it's like that with the Lord. Are we allowing the Lord to systematically, one day at a time, one step of obedience at a time, shape us and mold us and chip away everything that does not look, sound, act, or think like Jesus? Or are we holding on to the kingdom of self? God's encouragement to us is to be as soft and as pliable in the hands of the Master Potter. Because at the end of the day, whether we know it or not, whether we believe it or not, whether we see it or not, whether we think it or not, God knows exactly what He is doing. Nicolene believes it. Let's try this side. Regardless of what you think or feel or see or understand, God knows exactly what He is doing with you in your life. He knows. He knows what He's doing. The question is, will we let Him? Will we let Him change us? That's the question. So, this is what God is up to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. I'm going to ask the sound engineers to get a song ready for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, we now have this light shining in our hearts. And the previous verses explain that it's this beautiful ministry of the gospel that we have. The fact that we have the Holy Spirit poured out on flesh. The fact that out of all the places in everything that God has created, there's lots of pieces of you laying all over the place here. And me. Out of all the places that God could live, He chooses to live inside people like you and me. Folks, have you thought about that? The universes and the galaxies that have been created are too small to contain Him. And yet He chooses to come and live inside the heart that says, yes, Lord, come take over my life. What a God that would choose to live inside of us. He chooses to live inside of us with all your warts and all your wrinkles and all your issues. He chooses to live inside of the heart of the man, of the woman, or the child that says, yes, Lord, I want you, Father. That's this God. That's what the verse is talking about. We have this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars. How many of you know that you're fragile? I've been saying this to people recently. I wish the numbers in my age were turned around. You see, there was a time when I thought, because I'm Easter. Now I know I'm not. I never have been, and I never will be. I'm simply a lump of dirt that Jesus saw fit to pick up and breathe His life into. That's all I am. If I'm not a son of God, co-heir to the throne of Jesus, I am nothing. And the older I get, the more I realize how fragile I am. And it says, we are but jars of clay that God is working with, containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. So my brother, my sister, I don't know, maybe you have a delusion of grandeur. You think that you're this amazing being. You are in the eyes of God. But you're still a lump of dirt that He's breathed His life into. You're a lump of dirt that He's decided to pour His grace upon. You're a lump of dirt that He loves beyond description. Endlessly. You're a lump of dirt that He loves so much, He was willing to give up His life so that you can have life. That's what we are. We've got to ask ourselves a question, are we letting God change us like this? Before they play this song, it's a song by David Crowder called Back to the Garden of his 2016 album called American Prodigal. And there's parts of the lyrics that go like this. I was formed from the soil. I got dirt inside of me. But I was born to be royal. I was made for glory. Listen. Pump it, gentlemen. Lift the roof.
I was born to be royal. I was
How awesome is that? Take me back to the garden, Lord. Take me back to the place where I walked in intimate fellowship with you. Take me back to the place where you speak to me as a man speaks with his friend. I was born into this beautiful garden, but I was torn from that garden when the devil lied to me. I was made from the soil. I got dirt inside of me. But I was made to be royal. I was born for glory. My brother, my sister, you sit here this morning, and for the longest time you've been listening to the accusations of the devil and the lies and the mistakes of your past, and the times you've committed to God, you promise you're never going to do it again, and guess what? You do it again and again and again. Isn't it time we tell the devil, in the name of Jesus, shut up? I'm valuable and precious to God. Yes, there's dirt inside of me, but His blood has been shed for me to renew me, to give me another chance. There's grace sufficient. And when I walk in obedience, God's got a plan for me. Even though my life is messed up, I'm going through things. Either the devil is attacking me or it's because of my own silly decisions. Proverbs 19 and verse 3 says people mess up their lives by their choices and then are angry at God. Had an opportunity of sharing with somebody going through a terrible, 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 debilitating disease in a family member. This disease is literally sucking and draining the life right out of them. And they're questioning, where's God? Where's God? Why God? And they're angry at God. And Satan's convinced them to blame God. And my question was, when you were flourishing, when you were thriving, when it was going well for you, when the money was in such abundance, when you had so much health, you could party night after night after night and drink and care hard. And God was asking you, where were you? Where were you? Where were you? Now that the tables are turned and the devil is having a field day in your life, you're asking God, because of the decisions you've made, you're asking God, where are you? When all the while, God's asking you, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you this morning, my brother, my sister? Jesus encourages us with these words. John chapter 15, verse 1 to 11. I am the true grapevine, and my Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You've already been pruned and have been purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I'm the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in His love. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. I want to look at, I've prepared 7 points from that passage of Scripture, but I just sense to stop right there this morning. We'll carry on with this next week in these 7 points. The following week, I knew that. Wie van julle wil in die reën gaan staan en nat word? Nobody. Somebody wants to dance in the rain. I love that girl. I love that. When last have you danced in the rain? Sang and danced in the rain barefoot and just, yeah, it's, remember we used to do that as kids? Does anybody still do that? I do. I go into my backyard and I just, yay. Anyway, so let's, I just really want to be obedient to what the Spirit of God says. I'm just going to touch on one. I'm just going to touch on one of those 7 points. In that passage of Scripture, there from the New Living Translation, it says, I'm the true grapevine and my Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine. And I look at that in that context, it could be like, okay, I'm not bearing fruit. I'm not really performing. I'm not really measuring up. I'm not really meeting God's standards. So he's just going to like cut me and throw me away because I'm good for nothing. It's easy to get that picture from that. Do you agree with me? That's not what it says. It's at times like this when we need to do a deeper word study of the word. The New King James says this, that when you're at that place, the words take away are used. That word away means I hear or I'm mispronouncing it because I ain't Greek. It means the taking away means lifts up. So picture this. Jesus is the vine. You're the branch. You're part of the vine, and the vine is part of you. The lifeblood that's coming from the soil and the nutrients and the water and the sunshine and all the chemicals that God gets life to grow in a plant is growing in the vine, and that life and power and love is flowing from the source into you as a branch, and you're bearing fruit. And it says, when the vine dresser, the potter, Almighty God, your Heavenly Father, sees that you're not in a good place, he lifts up that branch, gets it to a place where it's exposed to the light, and it can start producing fruit. So the picture is this, that when you're in a place where you're not bearing fruit, God will lift you up. He'll support you. He'll undergird you. He'll give you the grace. He'll give you the time. He'll be patient with you. He'll be loving with you to get you to a point where when you let the light of His Word and the light of His love and the light of His revelation and the light of fellowship with Him impact and change your life, you'll start to bear fruit again. But then there comes a time when there is no fruit. That if God leaves you there, you're going to hinder the growth of other branches that are seeking the light, that want to grow, that want to bear fruit. And if you refuse to let God do that in your life, He has to remove you. And then a different process has to be started in your life. Bless God in the name of Jesus. We never ever have to get to that place, church. We never have to get to that place unless we want to. Do you know that God never ever has sent anybody to hell ever in the history of mankind? Mense dink, jy maak so droog, die Here stuur jou hel toe. God has sent nobody to hell. People have chosen to go there of their own accord. God hasn't even sent Satan there yet. That time's coming. After we live and reign and rule for a brief 1,000-year period, yeah, the devil's going to be brought out of hell again. And then after that, we're going to look upon him, the Bible says, and we're going to say, is this the muhu that messed with us so much? Is this wimp of a liar? And then he's going to be thrown into hell. But for now, God has sent no person to hell. People have chosen to spend an eternity there apart from God on their own accord. And the encouragement this morning is enough of this hell talk. Okay, let's focus on the goodness of God. God gives us the time to allow Him to lift us up and bring us to the place where we can start bearing fruit for Him in our lives. And I don't know about you, if I was God and I wanted to make something beautiful and I wanted to make something valuable and precious, I wouldn't have chosen dirt. I would have chosen the most valuable, precious mineral that I've ever made, that I've ever seen. I would have chosen the best. I don't know what the most expensive mineral is in the world anymore. It's not gold. It's not platinum. I think there's something even more expensive than that. I don't know what it is. Petrol. You got to love jewels. Jewels for me is like a shot of joy in the arm. It's like laughter looking for a place to happen. I love you, jewels. What's the most precious physical substance on the periodic table? I don't know what it is. But I would have chosen the gold that's in the streets where God's home is right now. It's gold so pure, Revelation says you can see through it. It's transparent. I would have chosen something like that to make something beautiful. Like you. But God said, no, I'm going to choose dirt. I'm going to choose dirt. I'm going to choose soil. I'm going to make something special out of this mess. And that's what God wants to do with your life. He wants to take our brokenness and our sins and our issues and our disobedience and our unbelief and our faithlessness. He wants to take that and make something beautiful out of it. Would you let him do that? Would you let him do that? As you sit there this morning, maybe you're at a place in your life where you realize you've not let God, the master potter, work with your life. And you want God to do that. I'm going to ask you on behalf of God this morning. Would you let the master potter work with your life? Would you let him shape you? Maybe you've been working and walking with God for the longest time. But as you're sitting here this morning, you know that there's an area in your heart and in your life that's not like Jesus. Maybe it's bitterness and unforgiveness. Maybe it's racial prejudice. Maybe it's hatred. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's just absolute frustration with another person you want to wring their neck off and just put a whole new head on their shoulders because they're not thinking proper. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is. Whatever the label that has been given. If you know there's an area in your heart that you want the master potter to just change this morning, will you let him? Would you let the vine dresser, that's God, lift you up from where you are at to where he wants you to be so that the light of his word and his love can start producing fruit of repentance in your life? You see, folks, what is the fruit of repentance? It means where you don't just stop and say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And turn around and go and do exactly what you've asked God to forgive you for. The fruit of repentance means that there'll be evidence in your life that you're letting God change you. That's the fruit of repentance. Matthew 3:8, Luke 3:8, and Acts 26:20 speaks about the fruit of repentance. Confession is, the scripture's good. God says to us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Folks, it cannot stop at confession. It needs to go from confession. Confession means you speak it out. I confess and I say, Lord, I realize I need saving. I'm a sinner. God, please help me. It's confession. Repentance means you turn away from that. You move away from that old whatever. And you let God change you so that your actions and your lifestyle and your speech and your thinking and what you do matches up with somebody that has said sorry to God. If I say anything more, it's going to be of Mozzie. God has spoken. Will you obey? Let's pray as the deep end. In fact, we'll give the deep end off this morning. After we pray, we're going to give you an opportunity to, if you want to just share your challenge with somebody, if you want to say, Lord, I want to give my life to you for the first time, maybe. Or I want to rededicate my life to you. And you want somebody to pray with you specifically concerning something. Please come up to the front. We're not going to try and fix you because we don't have answers for you. Jesus has. We just want to pray with you. If you feel you need somebody to pray for something specifically, is Alvin here this morning? Alvin, ek wil vir jou skouer bid, my broer. Ek wil vir jou skouer bid. Ek hoor en ek weet daar's 'n issue daarso. I want to pray for you because I know that when God heals you, He's going to heal my shoulder as well. There's also an issue here because of stuff. If you've got anything you'd want somebody to pray with you for this morning, please come to the front. I want to pray a general prayer for us this morning. And then we'll close off with the rest of that song that we listened to this morning from David Crowder. So if you're seated there and you know there's an issue in your heart and in your life that you want God to change, just pray with me in your heart right there as you're seated this morning. Say, Father, I come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that you're a God of love and you're a God of grace and you're a God of mercy and compassion. And that you love me so much, Lord God. I don't understand it all the time and how and why, but it doesn't change the fact that you love me beyond description. And I thank you for your love, precious Jesus. Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, this thing that's in my life, and as you pray there, I want you to name it. I want you to call it what it is. If it's an addiction, if it's an attitude of your heart, a bitterness or unforgiveness or whatever, or fear or whatever, say, Lord, I lift this up to you. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me, to change me, to show me your way. I ask you, Lord, to help me let go of, and mention that before the Lord as you sit and pray this morning. Help me let go of that, Lord. Help me walk a new path with you, Lord Jesus. And Holy Spirit, when I am weak, make me strong. When I stumble, keep me from falling. When my eyes begin to wander, turn my eyes on Jesus again. Help me, Lord, to live in victory, Lord. Help me to turn my back on the lies of the devil and never listen to him again, Father. Lord, I ask that you keep me safe and that you keep me strong by your Spirit. Ask Jesus that you send ministering angels to watch over me and to guard me and to keep me faithful to this promise, to keep me faithful to this walk, that I never drift away, that I never grow cold, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that when I'm unable to make decisions, when I have no peace, when I don't understand, that you just give me the faith to know that my life is in your hands. In the name of Jesus, as we continue to pray and our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you're not sure this morning if you're ever going to make it to heaven one day, you're not sure that you're going to be able to live with Jesus because of what you've done in the past, and you want to make sure. And you want to not only, people say, I gave my heart to Jesus, but you want to give your whole life to Jesus. And if you've never done that before, is there anybody like that this morning? Please raise your hand. Anybody like that? Anybody that's never surrendered their heart and their life to Jesus? Okay, that's good. And stand with us as we get ready to close off this morning, church. Bless you. Let's stand together. Thank you for making the time to listen. Just a reminder, next week, Sunday, there is definitely a service on Resurrection Sunday. It's just not here. It's at Life Central in Midrand. We want to encourage you to come in. I want to encourage you, maybe up to now you haven't entered the national rally. It's not only for bikers, it's not only for CMA members, it's for anybody and everybody that has a desire to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus. I want you to imagine this. Imagine what it's like when there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people together at the same place for 3 days, seeking God's face, enjoying His presence, seeing and experiencing His power, enjoying each other's fellowship and company. It is a life-changing experience. If you're wondering if you should go, that's probably God telling you, "Hukumashini aldani." I want to encourage you, make a plan and get there. You can register online, speak to somebody who will help you and explain to you what it involves and what it entails to get there. But moet asseblief nie net by die huis sit en TV kyk or feed your paw hole on Easter eggs, because it's got nothing to do with bunnies, rabbits or eggs, or even the name Easter. I don't even like to use that name. It's a pagan name based on the stuff in the past. It's about the death and resurrection of Jesus and celebrating the fact that out of the thousands of religions in the world, there's only one that celebrates an empty tomb, and it's Christianity. So may Almighty God bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you, and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Please enjoy each other's fellowship afterwards, and when you travel, drive safely. Be prepared, be polite, and be patient, and let's enjoy the song together. Bless you guys. Thank you.